I would now like to once again warmly welcome our ruling elder and our fellow brother in the Lord, Marvin Achilles, to the pulpit.
Well, good afternoon. Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, we thank you for this Sabbath day that you've given us, a day of rest, a day of respite, and a day where we can take time to reflect upon your goodness. We pray, O Lord, now that as we come to your word, that you, our Father, would help us to understand, that you would help us to take it in and not only be hearers of it, but doers of it. We pray, O Lord, that our lives would become a testimony of your grace to our neighbors and our friends around us, and that we would have opportunity to share the good news of Jesus Christ to all who we come in contact with. We ask in your holy name, amen. Well, I'd like to talk about the 116th Psalm, but I think before we do that, we should read it. And then after I talk about it, we should sing it. And we'll proceed to do that. But let's hear God's word, what he says to us in this psalm. It's a personal psalm. I love the Lord because he hears my voice and my supplications. Because he has inclined his ear to me, therefore I shall call upon him as long as I live. The cords of death encompassed me, and the terrors of Sheol came upon me. I found distress and sorrow. Then I called upon the name of the Lord. O Lord, I beseech thee, save my life. Gracious is the Lord and righteous. Yes, our God is compassionate. The Lord preserves the simple. I was brought low, and he saved me. Return to your rest, O my soul, for the Lord has dealt bountifully with you. For thou hast rescued my soul from death, my eyes from tears, my feet from stumbling. I shall walk before the Lord in the land of the living. I believed when I said, I am greatly afflicted. I said in my alarm, all men are liars. What shall I render to the Lord for all his benefits toward me? I shall lift up the cup of salvation and call upon the name of the Lord. I shall pay my vows to the Lord. Oh, may it be in the presence of all his people. Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his godly ones. O Lord, surely I am thy servant. I am thy servant, the son of thy handmaid. Thou hast loosed my bonds. To thee I shall offer a sacrifice of thanksgiving and call upon the name of the Lord. I shall pay my vows to the Lord. O may it be in the presence of all his people, in the courts of the Lord's house, in the midst of you, O Jerusalem, praise the Lord. You know, you start reading the commentaries about this psalm that is attributed to David, King David, the psalmist. And it suggests that, yes, in his life, if we look at his life, we'll see where he had opportunity to write this psalm. His circumstances were such that the Lord delivered him from some really, really dreadful predicaments. Most commentators would agree that this personal psalm would talk about the many times David was in danger. He had an increasingly perilous condition as he fled from King Saul and Saul's determination to be rid of him, David, Saul's rival. You know, remember, Saul even had the priests of the Lord, the residents of Nob, the city of Nob, killed because of David's rivalry. And how much lower could it have got for David than he had to plead insanity and feign it before his enemy, Achish, the Philistine king of Gath? Yes, the situation for David had become really extreme, and yet the Lord saved him. But if we just look at that commentary, we'd say, yes, we understand. We understand what was going on in David's life. We understand his predicament. But if we leave it at that, we miss some very important things. You see, the motivation of this psalm is about love. The application of this psalm is spiritual, and it encompasses all the situations that we as God's people have found ourselves in. I think of a supporting text from the letter to the Corinthians, the first letter in chapter 15, verse 19, where the Apostle Paul, in his brilliant defense of the resurrection and of its necessity, states this: if we have hoped in Christ in this life only, we are of all men most to be pitied. So when we look at this psalm, I think we need to look beyond the circumstances of David's situation, or make an application to ourselves and maybe some situation that we're in this life. Because the personal nature of this psalm talks about the condition we are all in as fallen people before God, unless God acts to do something about it. Okay. So there's a sense of wonder in this psalm. As the psalmist says, he uses these personal pronouns, I, my, me. I love the Lord because he hears my voice and my supplications, because he has inclined his ear to me. Therefore, I shall call upon him as long as I live. The cords of death encompassed me. The terrors of Sheol came upon me, and I found distress and sorrow. Then I called upon the name of the Lord. Save me. Save me. That's our condition outside of Christ Jesus. Outside of that God, in his mercy, who is transcendent, would also become eminently concerned with the life of his people, you and I. That he would think upon us, he would listen to us, he would answer our prayer. So, we need to talk a little bit about the circumstances of our life as fallen people. You know, sin is a killer. It's not just about our life in this life, that it will one day end, as God promised Adam it would if he disobeyed. But it is about the spiritual death of those who are unbelievers. The eternal spiritual death. But God saves. Why? We might ask, why does God save someone like me? That's a huge question. An answer that I can't really give, because who we might choose to save seems very different than the ones God chooses to save. Well, he saved people like me. That's a wonder, isn't it? We, like David, was a sinner. Why would God spare him? Look at what David later became. Murderer, an adulterer, seemingly without conscience until confronted by Nathan the prophet. Why indeed? Well, it's because it's in the nature of God to save and to restore the fallen ones. That's in his nature. So this psalm begins with the theme of love. The psalmist says, I love the Lord because he hears my voice and my supplication. But here lies the difference between my love for God, because there's that because in it. Where God's love for you and I is unconditional. I love you, he says to his people. And I will listen to you, and I will save you. We love God, as the Apostle John says, because he first loved us. So when the psalmist says, I love the Lord because he hears my voice in supplication, we know that the first cause of our love is God's unconditional love for us as one of his own. And what a blessing that is. And this leads us to one of the main points of our psalm, that there is a spiritual and universal application of the psalm that asks us to respond to God's love. And it asks us to ask a critical question. Because of that, if you're one of his, what then can I render to the Lord for all his benefits toward me? Well, let's look at the facts that we know. Because of our sin, we're in real trouble. And our trouble is one of life and death. And the scriptures are very serious and clear about what sin is and what it does. The Apostle Paul, in the letter to the Ephesians in chapter 2, states the condition of those who are unconverted. Listen to this. And you were dead in your trespasses and sins, in which you formerly walked according to the course of this world. Oh. Look at Psalm 116, verse 3. The cords of death encompassed me, and the terrors of Sheol came upon me. I found distress and sorrow. And that's pretty serious stuff. Sin is serious. We know that. But then there's the character of God, the character of his grace. Yes, we can call on him for salvation. Instead of distress and sorrow, there's bounty. There's his care for us, his people, his rescue of us from death, his steadying hand when we could stumble, and the confidence we can have in his promises and his kindly care. Yes, we were brought low, but now we can walk confidently in him. Yes, there were tears of distress when we realized our peril and the seriousness of our sin, but now joy in knowing that we can call upon him as long as we live. And for his people, that is forever. Yes, because of the relationship between Jesus Christ, the mediator, and his people, we now can have relationship with God the Father. But there is a tension, and the psalmist gets at this tension, doesn't he? We live in a fallen world. Yeah, that's where we are. The world filled with liars. There's the reality of physical death. And at times there will be afflictions of different kinds, different circumstances, different people. So what's the solution to living in this fallen world without becoming either cynical or unduly fearful? Two questions. People can become really cynical. Yeah, all men are liars. I'm in a tough spot, but, you know, that's the way it is. Well, I'll just act cynical. But I don't care. Or unduly fearful, crouching behind every perceived threat. For the people of God, the answer lies, then, in our participation with the people of God, within community and in communion with his people. The Christian should never, ever make the mistake of disassociation away from God's people. That's not how God has designed us to be. He has designed us to be in community with one another, helping one another. So verses 13 through 19 of this psalm answer the question, what shall I render to the Lord for all his benefits toward me? Well, in the community of people, of God's people, we can answer that question better than anywhere else. We render to the Lord some things. It's in the community that we lift the cup of salvation. It's in the community that we pay our vows to the Lord. It is in the context of community that we offer the sacrifice of thanksgiving and praise. It is in the context of community that we find solace when one of our number is taken to the Lord through death. It's in the community we find hope and comfort and fellowship with other believers, a strength to follow Christ no matter how difficult our circumstances or how severe our suffering. You know, Jesus was asked, he asked his disciples when he was asked by the mother of James and John for one of her sons to be seated on, one on his right and one on his left hand in his kingdom. So Jesus posed a question back to them. He said, are you able to drink the cup that I am about to drink? And they said, we're able. And he said to them, my cup you shall drink, but to sit on my right and on my left, this is not mine to give. You know, this points out the reality that we will, each of us, in some way share in his sufferings. That's probably not a really popular message, is it? That we are going to, in some way, share in his sufferings because we are his followers. But it is the suffering of living in the fallen world that Christ has called us to live in and to bear testimony to him. And it won't be an easy road at times, but it can be a road filled with joy when we realize the blessings of salvation and of God's certain promise of protection and help. So the psalmist concludes that one of the blessings is to give that thankful response within the community, in the presence of God's people. Oh, he wants that. He wants to pay his vows there. He wants to give his testimony among the people of God in communion with his people. This is where, in following Christ's command to do this in remembrance of me, when we celebrate the Lord's Supper, that we find that Christ is present with us within that community. And it is in Christ's presence that we lift the cup of salvation. We lift it knowing that we will be in some way sharing in his sufferings. Because when we talk about the cup that he was about to drink as he went in the Garden of Gethsemane and as he was prepared to go to the cross, it was not a pleasant prospect at all. It was quite awful. But we can call on his name, and he promises that he will keep us safe. He will keep us safe. That we will make our vows and renew our commitments as his servants. Yes, despite the challenges of living in a fallen world, we offer that sacrifice of thanksgiving and praise for all his benefits to us. We make our vows in his presence, in the presence of his people. Oh, praise the Lord. This is the essence of worship. As we day by day, week by week, month by month, and year by year, get strength to live and grow as Christ has directed us to do. We study his word. We offer the praise that he has directed us to give from his word, such as in this and the other Psalms, in the celebration of the sacraments, the pictures that he gave us to accompany that word that he has designed for us, and in the fellowship of the congregation of his people. These are the benefits that we enjoy until by his grace we leave this life as those who are precious in his sight. So then let us live. Live as we love the Lord and remember his benefits. Within the context of our worship and testimony within the community of God's people, we can become emboldened in our ability to bear testimony to God's grace in the fallen world. We don't have to resort to that fear factor or that cynicism that so pervades the world around us. We can thankfully relate to others who are in the same peril that we once were. There they are. Hopeless, helpless, suffering distress and sorrow, reduced to a low level, no matter what the veneer looks like on the outside. Life or death, spiritual life or death. So what is it we're going to testify to? It's not going to be about us, is it? Yeah, we can talk about our own experiences with that. I could stand here for an hour and relate to you my distress and my sorrow outside of Christ Jesus. But that's not what God calls us to testify to. We're fallen just like those other people. But it's rather we are testifying to the character of God. Let's review that character. Gracious is the Lord and righteous. Yes, our God is compassionate. The Lord preserves the simple. When I was brought low, he saved me. But return to your rest. Oh, you mean I don't have to be fearful? I don't have to be cynical. Return to your rest, O my soul, for the Lord hath... Oh, he's been dealt bountifully with you. You've rescued my soul from death. You've kept my eyes from tears, my feet from stumbling. Oh, I shall walk before the Lord in the land of the living. Yeah, I believed when I said, I'm greatly afflicted. I said in my alarm, all men are liars, but God says, I love you. I love you. You're my people. I'll care for you. I will send the Savior. That's what we testify to. the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ that offers freely the benefits, not only to you and I, but to a fallen world around us. And in following the psalmist, we'll focus then on the loving character of God and not on ourselves. Yes, that is the nature of effectively sharing the good news in the world. So, can we go boldly and testify about our Lord Jesus Christ? Can we? Amen.